welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
I was burdened down with sin. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. When at last I finally content to fill my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when He saved my soul. I remember the day.
I remember the day
when the Lord saved me.
When the Lord saved me,
all of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me. Now a life of peacefulness deep within my heart abides. Since the day that Jesus took my sins away, and to heaven I will go to spend the endless ages while they ever roll, praising His name for the glorious day that He saved my soul.
I remember the day.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me. And I remember the day.
I remember the day.
All of heaven came down.
All of heaven came down.
I was happy and free.
I was happy and free.
Glory filled my soul.
Glory filled my soul. For I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me.
Hello again. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. I do sincerely appreciate all who tune in. Thank you very much for your prayers. Thank you for praying for not only the work as it continues on, but praying for those who that might tune in, that as the Word goes forth, that something said may bring about a great eternal change, so that those who are lost and undone, they might indeed see their need and turn toward God with all their heart to find soul salvation. I believe very much that it is God who that saves the soul. I believe that it is He who that looking down into the heart of those who are seeking after Him, I believe He is the only one who that can know when that we've come to that place that we truly put all of our trust in Him for soul salvation. Indeed, I do believe that soul salvation is an experience which that we have when that we seek God with all of our hearts and He saves our soul. I don't believe it's something that you could come up to me and say that I have said the right thing or spoken the right words, have believed enough that would qualify me to be a child of God. I don't believe any mortal individual has that ability. I believe it's God who that sees when someone comes before Him with all their heart and puts their trust in Him, and then He is the one who lets them know immediately. I can speak to that and attest to it because of my own experience. I know for sure that I have been born again, and it's not because someone told me, it's because that God let me know when I trusted Him with all my heart. And that's the way it is for everyone. God's not a respecter of persons. He deals with everyone the same way. He indeed sees sin as sin, and he sees faith as faith. He's not going to require more faith of you than he did of me, or less of you than he did of me. He's not a respecter of persons. I've heard it said, trying to get that across and make the explanation plain, I've heard it said that the ground at the cross is level, on level ground. It's not higher for somebody and lower for someone else. It's a level ground at the cross where that we come to find soul salvation. So thank you for praying for the work. Continue to do so. We know we need the Lord's help in everything that we do, and that's just an honest confession, and in the middle of our lack, but indeed it's a acknowledgement of the great and eternal power of God. We've been trying to study on topics related to some particular articles of faith that we have been looking at. They address the subject of the true God. We have previously taken a look at the first part of this article, and I might just add this as we come along this way, that if anyone would like to study these in more depth, you can do so by going to the website that's associated with this broadcast. The website is mentioned at the end of the broadcast. I'll give you the address that you can go on the internet and gain access to that material. The URL or that website address is fisherofmenbaptistic.com. fisherofmenbaptistic.com. What you do when you get there is you look on the page, the left-hand side of the page, you find Articles of Faith. Click on that, and then you can go down to the bottom half of the screen. In Article 2 of The True God, in the written material, there's a number of items there that you can go into, and there's spaces where that sermon files are going to be linked into that. These recordings that you're hearing now, they will be linked to that spot. And then also we anticipate that there will be some Bible studies that video will accompany, and we'll have those linked into that same area as well. That's what the plans are. So previously, we've already addressed of the true God two times. First off, pointed out that there is one and only one true God. God has revealed this unto us, and he lets us know plainly, indeed, that that is the matter of his essence. There is one God. Also, took a look at the nature of God, some of his attributes, being holy and absolutely worthy of all living creatures' honor and praise. Took a look at that, and then now we will move into the portion of the Articles of Faith that says, or describes for us, declares to us, that in the Godhead there is a Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that they are equal in their divine perfections. And so as you go in and consider the articles and you want to study this in depth, you can do that at that area that I identified on the website. And in this message, we intend, with the Lord's help, to take up the thought regarding the Trinity and looking at the equality of the Father and the Son is what that we hope to be able to get to in this message. If it's to where, before we do, though, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. So if it's to where that you can and like to join with us, we would like to pray. So let us pray at this time. And gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for the great many blessings of Thee, our God, that You so richly extend toward us through Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for looking over us and taking care of us even when we're ignorant of the great divine guiding hand of God. We ask You to forgive us where we doubt and where, Lord, we waver. Forgive us, Lord, where we do things we ought not, and leave off things that we should do, knowing that all such is sin. Cleanse us and direct us that indeed walking in the path of truth and righteousness, that we can be such that we know we can't be any other way. Father, let us be vessels meet for Your use in all things. We pray again for the many sad and needy circumstances, those who are not well. We pray for those who are heavy of heart, those who've given up their loved ones, those who that are perplexed by the afflictions of this life. We pray, God, that there would be comfort, there'd be kindness sent their way, and help us that the words of kindness and such that comes from God, stems from the great love of God, that it would be manifest in our lives. Grant us wisdom and understanding, Lord, that in our daily endeavors that our speech would be always seasoned with grace to the benefit of those whom we encounter. We pray mainly, Lord, for the lost, those who know Thee not, nor the free pardon of sin. We pray, God, something be said and done, that might call their attention to their eternal condition, and, Lord, being called thereunto, they might surrender to your will, be saved. We pray for the church, that she'd be protected, yea, Lord, awakened from times of complacency, stirred to do your will, and be a seeker of your direction and guidance in all things. And we pray, God, for our country, that she'd help her, Lord, that she'd be granted leaders who would be such that please you. Let us recognize those and help us to understand how to support them as we ought. Bless, Lord, this work. Thank you for your blessings which you've already bestowed upon it. Take it and use it to that that's good and right in your sight. We know, Lord, that the great end will then come. Take, Lord, and use. Forgive us again our sin shortcomings, those things we fail to ask, fail not to grant. For we do seek all favors and blessings in Jesus' name. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we said earlier, we have been trying to study and prepare for this occasion, and we find ourselves again taking up the third section of the second article of faith. And in this second article, again, it's dealing with the true God. And this part of the article relates to the Trinity of the Godhead. There is a high degree of doubt among many that there could be such a thing as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Godhead. However, these general listings of the basics of these principles which that we truly believe that the Bible teach, we believe that God has revealed unto us through the Word of God that there are three parts or a Trinity in the Godhead, equal in their divine perfections. Not three gods, but one God. That these three are one. And great a mystery as that may sound, God has revealed unto us that indeed there is a Trinity in the Godhead. And I believe it's so clear that we'd have to we'd have to change the words that are written down and recorded for us before that you could deny what that said. You'd have to change what's written before you could deny it. I believe it's that very plain. Taking a look at Matthew chapter 3, we'll read over on the occasion where that John the Baptist was baptizing. And as John the Baptist was baptizing, very familiar scriptures, we realize that Jesus Christ came to him while he baptized. We'll take up verse 13 of Matthew chapter 3 and read of this occasion. Notice here, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And with the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of Matthew chapter 3, we've read from verse 13 down through verse 17. I notice in these scriptures that Jesus has came to this place where John was baptizing. As Jesus came and he surrendered himself to this practice, this burial in water, this full burial in water for baptism, when he came up straightway out of the water, we notice the scene. We can just picture it there. Here's Jesus coming up out of this full burial of water, coming up straightway out of the water, being baptized, meaning a burial, that which was plunged under and brought back up out of. As he was brought up out of the water, we can just see the picture here as this was revealed unto John as he's standing there, and it's written for us so that we know what John saw. We find that Jesus standing in the water, that the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighting, or it lit, it landed, if it was, it rested, came upon Jesus. So we see here Jesus standing in the water, and John seeing the Spirit descending. Well, Jesus was in the water there, and the Spirit had to be separate from him for John to see him descending. And then, as this occurred, John heard, lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So here we have Jesus standing in the water, the Spirit descending onto Jesus, and then God the Father in heaven speaking and saying these words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now what we have here is a clear example given to us in the Scriptures, letting us see indeed the three persons of the Godhead. The three persons being God the Father, speaking from heaven, God the Son, standing there in the water, God the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove. This example is one that's very persuasive to me, helping me to agree that indeed that there is a Trinity in the Godhead. I notice again over in Ephesians and in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. I'll back up just a couple of verses. And I notice in verse 16, speaking of Jesus, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him, speaking of Jesus still, for through him we both, this is speaking of the Jew and the Gentile, just humanity, through him, through Jesus, we, that is humanity, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I find then that we are told that there is a way that mankind gains access to the Father. And it says that by one Spirit we gain access unto the Father. But we don't just go from the Spirit straight to the Father, because it says, for through Christ we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Jesus is the door. More specifically, he lets us know in John 14 and verse 6, he said, "I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now in John 10, he said, "I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man entereth, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the way. He is the way in so much that Timothy, in the book of Timothy, the Apostle Paul writing, the Scripture tells us that there is one mediator between man and God. That is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Jesus is the way through the Spirit that we all gain access unto the Father. And again, gaining access to the Father through Christ. Christ is the door, by means of the Spirit. So we have the three persons of the Godhead directly involved in the soul salvation of everyone who ever will be saved, ever has been, or ever will be saved. You'll come through Christ by the Spirit to gain access unto the Father. I think of another example over in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 12. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, specifically, verses 4 and through 6, I notice the offices, that is the positions, the offices of the Godhead are laid out for us. We got a sense of the offices in that last reference out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. The Scripture says this, "Now there are diversities of gifts," these are spiritual gifts, "now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all." So we notice God the Father presented to us as the one who are over all these diversities of operations. He is the absolute. He is the, if you will, he is the legislator, that is the great truth himself, that I am the self-existence one, and all these divine perfections relate to all persons of the Godhead. But in the Godhead, we see God the Father as the great legislator. We see as this speaks to us of administrations, that Christ is the administrator. There are diversities, differences in administrations, but the same Lord. He has been appointed the head of all things. The Scripture lay these things out, and I can't dwell upon them because of the lack of time, but That's one of those verses where that you think about it, that's a verse that I preach. There are diversities of it. There are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord who is the head of all administrations. All have been entrusted to His hands, and He shall reign till the last enemy is finally cast off into the lake of fire, and that last enemy is death itself. And again, then, of the Spirit, there are diversities of gifts. The gifts and the workings of the gifts, we find that in the office of the same Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. One last reference we'll turn to is over in 1 John in chapter 5. Now, 1 John chapter 5, I notice that the Scriptures tell us in verse 7, and I would caution you, you may have a different translation. I refer to the King James Version after careful study, and I took a number of years to study this subject myself. The Greek that underlies the New Testament, I find the most accurate is the Greek which underlies the New Testament that is translated into English in the King James Version. That Greek is the most accurate. It is called the Textus Receptus. You may have never heard that phrase before. That's Greek, Textus Receptus. The received text is what that means. But in your more modern translations, they refer back to a Greek called the... It ties into a couple of men who that researched, and their research, as we might say, left quite a bit to be desired. But the Greek that was compiled and then the English Bibles translated from that Greek oftentimes leave out this verse. What happens is they combine verses before and after to leave out this specific sentence that makes up 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 that you find in the King James Version. And from just simple study, and I would be willing, anybody wanted to contact us, I'd be willing to point you in the direction of the information that I studied, and you can study it for yourself and see what that you conclude. But from these other references that I came from, Matthew 3, over in Ephesians 2, and finally right there in 1 Corinthians 12, it's obvious that the three persons, there are three persons in the Godhead. But then this verse has been eliminated from that text. It starts back with the Greek. The English translations that they came from, they're innocent. They just are representing the Greek that they come from. It's the Greek that was compiled beforehand by a couple of men a long time ago, back in the 1800s, that came up with that. That being as it is, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, Scripture says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You have to get a King James Bible so that you can find that. This Scripture then lets us know the Father, the Word, and as we realize from reading the Gospel of John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are not three gods, there's one God. And there's three offices in this Godhead, sometimes referred to as the Godhead Trinity or the Trinity of the Godhead. Moving forward then, we also mentioned that there is a oneness, a unity, an absolute unity in the Godhead. Now think about, first off, how the Scriptures teach us of this unity between Father and Son. It also teaches us of the unity between the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Son and the Holy Spirit. But we want to first off concentrate on seeing how that indeed there's a unity in the Godhead as revealed to us in the Scriptures between Father and Son in the Godhead, God the Father and God the Son. John chapter 10, verse 30. We notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the speaking, He says in verse 30, "I and my Father are one." The Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered Him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Well, why did the Jews register that Jesus was making himself God, saying he was equal with God? What is it that they knew? The Jews had been taught to identify blasphemy. They had been taught to identify it that they might be able to sort the good from the false. Well, in what Christ said, they looking at him and they not believing that he was who he declared himself to be. And he, by the way, some have said that Jesus never said that he was God. Well, the Jews understood that he was saying he was God when he said this. He uttered these words, I and my Father are one. And notice what he just got through saying. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So you see, he just got through saying that he is the giver of eternal life to those who he refers to as his sheep. The Jews clearly understood. He was making a comparison. He said, I and my Father are one. He's saying, I and God are one. The God the Father and God the Son, they are one. So in the declaration of Christ himself explaining, revealing, bringing the message from on high to earth, that we poor, simple, mortal creatures called man might get a clearer understanding of the nature of our Maker, of the nature of the one who beckons unto us and wants us to put all of our trust in him, so we might better understand his nature. He sent his Son, and his Son brought the plain truth to us in saying, I and my Father are one, that we can see indeed in the Godhead, though it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there's not three gods, there's perfect unity. So we say there is but one God. As mysterious as that may be, that's how certain that it is. We turn again to John chapter 5. Very similar words written for us. Verse 17, Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now it's plain how that those who have a understanding of what it is, just the plain basic words that God has revealed to us concerning equality, or what it is for somebody to blaspheme him, they recognized that Christ was saying that he was equal with God, insomuch that they said that he was worthy of death because of blasphemy. Well, the point being this, there is absolute unity in the Godhead, and Christ, in his plain statements that men understood, in his plain statements, he meant for us to see indeed that there is unity in the Godhead. Not three gods, but one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three persons making up a Godhead that's absolutely unified. So we say there is but one God. Hope something's been brought out. It's been helpful. If so, be careful to thank the Lord for that. He's the one we look to for our helper, for our help and for our guidance. We don't know what we'd do without the Lord. We'd just be lost. But we are thankful for the thoughts that we have been able to share, been allowed to share, and we hope that if it's been helpful, you'll be thankful as well and thank him for it. Thank you again for tuning in. Continue to pray for this work. Pray for us. We know we need the Lord's help in everything we do. We pray God would richly bless you and yours too. We're able to come back this way again. This would be our prayer. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.